Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord on this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Many know it as Easter Sunday. And this weekend, Good Friday, Saturday, Holy Day, and Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. You know, how many are thankful for the holiday and the time off? In the time of food, fun, and family, you know, chocolates and egg hunts and bunnies galore, and don't forget pastel decor. One of the great festive weekends of the year and of each year. Still on the calendar. Good Friday. Still on the calendar. Saturday, Holy Day. And still on the calendar. Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, call it what you may. You know, why is Friday good? Why is Saturday holy, and why is Sunday what it is? Well, Friday is good because Jesus died for the sins of humanity, for the fallenness, that there might be redemption, reconciliation, right relationship, salvation, freedom, life, and life everlasting. Saturday is holy. And here the observance, the reflection, the waiting, the vigil, the anticipation. Because Sunday's coming. And Sunday, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who took on death and won. The one who took on hell and won. Our Messiah, our Savior, our Victor, our Champion, our King, our Lord, our Jesus. Oh God, let the importance and observance of this weekend grip us afresh. Let this be a day when revelation takes hold of those who have lived and are living unaware of the power of the symbolism of this weekend. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying. Would you accept it today? Worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Friday's coming. The scene is set. The plot in action. Jesus and his disciples are in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is praying. Such praying, the book of Luke records, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The night had come. The time had come. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, there he is in the garden praying. He knows the cup set before him, the cup he must drink. The night is come. There's Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God. And he's betrayed in the garden by one of his own. Betrayed with a kiss. The wrong kiss, the Son. John 18, picking it up at verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. You know, we might draw from the text the truth that it is fitting and right that men fall to the ground before Jesus. Verses 7 and 8, then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Verses 12 to 14, then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away. They led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient, that is advantageous, that one man should die for the people. That one man should die for the people. One man to die for the people. One man to die for people. One man will die for all people. You know, they didn't know, Caiaphas, he didn't know how true the words. It's advantageous that this one man, Jesus, die for all people. We're moving fast today. Jesus is questioned by the high priest. Interrogation time. Verses 19 to 24, the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I've said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus, slapped him in the face. He struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, if I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. You know, Jesus spoke openly to the world, and his messengers have carried on in like manner ever since, speaking openly to the world. Interrogation. Interrogation of the Son of God. Can you imagine interrogating God? Can you imagine slapping him in the face? Verses 28 to 38, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, literally a criminal, we would not have delivered him up to you. And then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself? Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. The guiltless one, the sinless one, the righteous one, the perfect one, the Son of God, God in flesh, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And now verses 39 to 40. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. You know, they cried for a robber then. And they're still crying for a robber now. Not this man, but Barabbas. Not this Jesus, but this jailbird. Not this good man, but this guilty man. Not this Christ, but this criminal. Can you hear the cries in the earth today? The response to the question, who do you want? Do you want the King of the Jews? Do you want this Jesus? I find no fault in him. He's perfect. Who do you want? Do you want this Jesus? No, give us Barabbas. Give us the jailbird. Give us the guilty. Give us the criminal. And that day, the cries of the crowd won out. The guiltless for the guilty, the good for the goon, the God for the godless. Who do you want? John 19, 1 to 4. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, that is, they came up to him and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Jesus brought out before the people, once again, guiltless, faultless people, another chance. Behold, Jesus, as I bring him out to you today, no fault in him, all truth in him. He is who he says he is. He is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, God himself, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Verses 5 to 16, then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, Behold the man. Please do. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out again, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid and went again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Well, Jesus gave him an answer. He said, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. He sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. You know, that's incredible. Behold your king. No fault, all truth. Behold him. Will we? Will you? Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. And right here, a picture of the modern world without Jesus Christ. A people with no king. No king but Caesar. The modern day Caesars that run the show. And yet, if Jesus isn't our king, the snake is. No matter how free one thinks they are still subject to earthly rulers. And these rulers have no authority except the authority granted them by God. Election's coming. Relax. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Listen, we may not understand it all, but God's in control and sovereign over all. Guess what? It's all going to work out. He wins. He's already won. Behold your king. Behold Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the sins of our world, our worlds. The beholding and the accepting must take place while there's life and living. And so, behold the king on a cross. Verses 17 to 24, and he, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him. One on either side, and Jesus in the center. Yeah, man on the middle cross. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was where the city was, near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Gambling right there at the foot of the cross. Verses 28 to 30, after this, Jesus, knowing that his seeing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine. They put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. It was. And it is. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You think about the iniquity represented in this room. Just this room. Imagine carrying that, feeling that. And Jesus took on him the iniquity of all. It is finished. Listen to the accounts of three of the Gospels, Matthew 27, verses 50 to 54. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. Hallelujah. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Mark 15, 37 to 39, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Luke 23, 44 to 47, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." He glorified God. This was a righteous man. This was the Son of God. You know, is there a centurion in the house? A centurion in the house of the Lord today? Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God to come. Join the confession of the centurion and of all those who over the centuries have confessed, this man is the Son of God. Oh, but wait. The centurion said, "Was." I mean, perhaps he thought it was over. This was the grave ending to the story. John 19, we pick it up at verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, listen, morning, afternoon, night, come to Jesus. He also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus. Good Friday and Holy Day. Story over. A grave ending. Death and burial. Just another Sunday. Just another Sunday in the Easter observance, reflection, the waiting, the vigil, the anticipation. Sunday's coming. Let's marvel at the history today, at his story. John 20, we pick it up at verse 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to him, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together. I mean, they're racing each other. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Peculiar. Handkerchief? The King James Version says, and the napkin. You know that it's been said that in those times the servant would perfectly set the table exactly how the master wanted it? And then the servant would wait till the master was finished. The servant would not dare touch the table till the master was finished. If the master was finished, he would rise up, wipe his fingers, his mouth, beard, wad up the napkin and throw it down on the table. I'm finished. The servant would then know to clear the table. But if the master got up and folded his napkin, it meant, I'm coming back. And the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know or understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verses 11 to 16, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one the other at the feet, the mercy seat, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Resurrection day, what a glorious day. Why are you weeping? We know why Mary was weeping, but why are you weeping? Or, why aren't you weeping? Whom are you seeking? We know who Mary was seeking, but who are you seeking? Or, why aren't you seeking? Jesus said to her, put your name there today. Jesus said to him, put your name there today. Oh, that men and women would turn to him and hear his voice. Well, Jesus, the risen one, the resurrected one, goes on to commission the apostles. He reveals himself to many, many eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus. Yeah, and there was a doubter. Verses 24 to 29, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And those would be the words of Jesus to us today. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You're blessed. It's all true. It's all wondrously true, gloriously true. Verses 30 to 31, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Well, the rest of the history plays out, and the time comes for Jesus to ascend to heaven. To those with which he was assembled, he delivered the great promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, declaring to them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, like Edmonton, Alberta, and Canada, and to the end of the earth. And now Acts 1, 9 to 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, the ascension, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? It's not time to just stand around, you know, gaze up into heaven. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go. Add that to your end time theology. Church, he's coming back. Folded napkin. The victorious one, the glorious one, Jesus. Listen, now is the time to receive the good news of that Friday. And hear the observance, the reflection, the waiting, the vigil, the anticipation, because Sunday's coming. And good news, we're in this place today and Sunday's here. The celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who took on death and won, the one who took on hell and won, our Messiah, our Savior, our Victor, our Champion. Jesus is alive. It is finished, but he's not finished. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But the world cries, not this man, but Barabbas. Not this Jesus, this jailbird, not this good man, I'm no guilty man, not this Christ, I'm no criminal, not this truth, I'm no thief, not this Jesus, give me bunnies, not this Christ, give me chocolates, not this death, but decorations, not this scene, but distractions, not this passion, but pastels. Not this death, but decorations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not this tomb, not this resurrection, not this hope, not this message, not this call, not this history, not this salvation. Listen, I got to tell you today, ain't no bunny going to save your soul. Oh, but let's just have another church service and have egg hunts and bunnies all over the place. Just saying. When we should be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, I'd rather give out chocolate crosses than chocolate. Hey, it's all good. Give your kids candy and give them bunnies. It's all right. But you see the distraction that slipped into the house of the Lord? It's taken over on a Sunday where we should just be all focused on Jesus. Somebody should start making chocolate empty tombs, that might be good, you know. I'd buy some, for sure I would. Ain't nobody but Jesus gonna save you. Ain't nobody but Jesus is. You know, be careful of the world's dainties. Resurrection Sunday. Today is a day of resurrection, a day for resurrection, resurrection of the soul, the spirit, even the flesh, resurrection of the mind, the will, and the emotions, to rise from a grave state and from the grave. The stone rolled away, and it has been. You know, you can rise with Christ today. Leaving the grave behind, leaving the grave clothes behind. You can rise and come out and walk and live and breathe with the resurrected one. And yes, salvation belongs to the risen Son. All forms of salvation needed, any form of salvation needed. What's the need today? If I told you that the stone is rolled away, and we might reference Lazarus, come out. The man, alive because of Jesus, but he had to answer the call and come out. Don't live a tomb life, a tombed life, when there's freedom past the mouth of the tomb, past the stone. Jesus has won. Jesus has overcome. Let's have the worship team return today. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord on Resurrection Sunday. You know, during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, there met him a man out of the tombs. Mark 5, we pick it up at verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. When they had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God." Wow. That's quite the line. "That you do not torment me," for he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. We pick it up, verses 18 to 20. He who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might be with them. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends." Your friends need to hear. Your friends need to see. Your friends need a witness. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And they departed one, and began to proclaim in Decapolis 10 cities all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. You know, outside of Jesus Christ, we are unclean. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are possessed by an unclean spirit. Legion. A spirit no one can tame. A spirit no man or men can tame. Only Jesus can tame this spirit. Only Jesus can cast it out and into the sea of his mercy and forgiveness. The devil in the man acknowledged him as Jesus, Son of the Most High God. You know what? The devil in men knows. The devil in men knows. But he's blinded the eyes. He's blinded the eyes. The devil knew the power of Jesus. "What's your name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." "Send us to the swine." At the word of Jesus, unclean spirits, go out and watch that herd run violently down the steep place into the sea and watch them drown, dealt with, done, complete. It is finished. You know, he still sends demons to the sea. It's Resurrection Sunday, in whatever form of resurrection we need today, our hope is in the resurrected one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Is there a pilot in the house? Or a pilot, you know, like literally. Or one that's, I don't know, piloting their own life and soul. What is truth? You know, maybe it's time we all stop trying to outsmart the truth and let it have its day, for there are no versions of truth, only one. Everyone's trying to outsmart the truth. Fool. Outsmart the truth, eh? It is finished, but Jesus isn't finished. Oh, Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read this scripture, but you know, I'm blown away. Every time you read the history, can you believe this? Jesus died for the high priest. Can you believe that Jesus died for the one who slapped him in the face? He died for those that spit. He died for those that mocked. He died for the soldiers. He died for the gamblers. He died for Barabbas. He took his place. And I wonder if Barabbas walked away. He's like, I'm free. New lease on life. I don't know. I can't wait to hear the end of the story. I can't wait to hear the end of the story. I wonder if Barabbas walked. I don't know. Did he walk away and change his life? Did he live his life for the man on the middle cross? Did he say, yeah, I'm the criminal. Give me the Christ. I'm the guilty. Give me the guiltless one. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. He had a choice. Guess what? Jesus, I mean, how real is that? Give us Barabbas. Give us Mark. Put your name there. Fitz. Give us so-and-so, not this Jesus. He dies on the cross. He dies on the cross for Barabbas. Insane. And just like Barabbas, we all have a choice, because the reality is Jesus took our place. Jesus died for us. And we walk away from that scene having seen today, and we have a choice. Do we follow Jesus or do we not follow Jesus? In this lifetime, we're all granted the opportunity to choose Jesus, every single person. Whether it's one church service, 10 church services, someone in the grocery store talking to you, a grandma, you know, praying over you, and then telling you about it, or you feel that, or whatever it might be, a billboard as you're going down the street, a Bible in the drawer of your hotel room, check, they're still there. Placed by the Gideons. Confronted with truth. Don't try and outsmart it. Confronted with truth. It's real. Why would you cry out? Why would you run away from Jesus? I just don't get it. He's come that we might have life. Life more abundantly. Well, I got to end. It's 11:44. Some of you got ham in the oven. It's okay. Feel free. Even though the swine went over the cliff and drowned in the sea and Jesus put demons in the ham, eat your ham. It's good. I ate ham on Friday. Don't worry about it. I'm still here. Because we pray over our food and curse any deadly thing, amen? Jesus. Jesus set us free from all that. That's just the religious spirit. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand in the house of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to be bold because he was bold for you. He went to Calvary. He went to Skull Hill. He carried his cross. I'm going to ask you just to come to the front and just, you're saying, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I want this gift of grace and mercy. Perhaps you're like the prodigal and you've run away. And guess what? Where did the prodigal find himself? With the swine. And you're saying, you're coming to your senses today. You're remembering how good it was in the Father's house, how good it was when you were with Jesus, how good it was. And you're saying, I'm making a decision. I will rise and go to my Father today. Please come. If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. I know we're over time. We're going to lift this up. We have no church service tonight. And some of you, this is the first time you've been in church all year or for 365 days. So I'm going to keep you for a few more minutes, all right? And then I'll release you and I'll see you next year.